you know, Dan, he had to skip it today. And no, I didn't tell the board members about that. That's the best part about being the pastor. You get the last word in until I get home. But anyways, good morning. And we are blessed. We're still blessed. If you're watching on Facebook, I put it on the title just so you would know. The YouTube site is working extremely well. So if this doesn't work for you, you can jump right over to YouTube. And we're very thankful for Cheryl and also Zach Polisari and my son and others that have put a lot of effort into getting that working right. So that should be up and running well for you. But anyways, with that being said, our sermon text for today is a very awesome sermon text. It is one that is taken out of the Gospels. And it shows exactly what we are to do. Because we just came through a tough cycle, there's no doubt about it, in our nation, and we're still going through it. But sometimes we feel as Christians, maybe we're a little defeated. But the reality of it is this is a prime opportunity. So we're going to read from Matthew, and I'm going to read from chapter 10. And just because we've already gotten up, we'll stay seated for this today. We're going to read from Matthew chapter 10, beginning at verse 1. I'm going to read through verse 15. And I'm going to read this in the name of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. And he called to him his 12 disciples, and he gave them authority over unclean spirits to cast them out and to heal every disease and every affliction. The names of the 12 apostles are these: first Simon, who is called Peter, and Andrew his brother, and James, the son of Zebedee, and John his brother, Philip and Bartholomew, Thomas and Matthew the tax collector, James and Alphaeus, the son of Alphaeus, and Thaddeus, Simon the zealot, and Judas Iscariot, who betrayed him. These 12 Jesus sent out, instructing them, "Go nowhere among the Gentiles and enter no town of the Samaritans, but go rather to the lost sheep of the house of Israel. And proclaim as you go, saying, 'The kingdom of heaven is at hand.' Heal the sick, raise the dead, cleanse the lepers, and cast out demons. You received without paying, give without pay. Acquire no gold or silver or copper for your belts. No bag for your journey, or two tunics, or sandals, or a staff. For the laborer deserves his food. And whatever town or village you enter, find out who is worthy in it and stay there until you depart. As you enter the house, greet it. And if the house is worthy, let your peace come upon it. But if it is not worthy, let your peace return to you. And if anyone will not receive you, or listen to your words, shake off the dust from your feet when you leave that house or town. Truly I say unto you, it will be more bearable in the day of judgment for the land of Sodom and Gomorrah than for that town." Amen. Let's unite our hearts in a word of prayer. Gracious Heavenly Father, we praise and we thank you for this day. We thank you for the gift of life that is found solely in Jesus Christ. And as your ambassadors, as your people, as your children, we ask that you remind us of that each and every moment that we are alive, that we are blessed to be your children, that we are blessed to be your example. And Father, the fields are ripe. There is opportunity for ministry throughout this whole world. As we've seen the chaos over the last few months, last year, Father, may it not discourage us, but may it rather show that there are those that are afraid, those that are uncertain, those that are just dealing with a lot of turmoil, and we have the comfort, we have the answer. We pray that you'd be with our nation, that you'd bring healing. We pray, Heavenly Father, that you would be with our president, that you would bless him, that you would strengthen him, and Father, that you'd bring wisdom and insight to his mind, not personal ideas. We ask that for the same benefit of the whole Congress, the House, the Senate, Father, all that serve. Father, that they would make decisions that would honor and glorify you and be good for the nation they serve. Father, may we find forgiveness. May we find peace in you, because we will not find it in the world. Father, we thank you for all things, but most of all, this word. Sanctify it for the truth, because, Father, your word is truth. We ask it in Christ's name. Amen. I'd like to give a side note that I highly appreciate the board members or the willing participants in the board this year that stepped forward. We were able to have six individuals in the basket as we draw names out, and I don't want to lose sight of thanking Raz for being willing to serve again, but he did not get chosen. Dan Crisman was willing to serve, and Steve Rossio was willing to serve. That is a good problem, to have more names than seats. And so if you ever feel that a call to serve on the board, every year we have an election. And so, you know, make a request known to a board member if you feel that there is someone that you would like to see on the board. So it's not a private club. Well, that being said, here we are. This text is just awesome. Because, you know, this shows what God will do when he equips his saints. He gives the ability for each and every one to go out and serve in their own way. Now, they may have different personalities, they may have different gifts, and that's what I mean by their own way. But the message is consistent. The message is always on the understanding of Jesus Christ. The message is always in the understanding of him being crucified for each and every one of us, not just here within a congregation, but for the world. And the real issue is that we need to bring this message out there so that people can hear it and understand it. Romans, Paul speaks very highly about the fact of the feet of one that carries the gospel. My shoes, actually, if Neil Hendrickson was looking, he'd say they need polishing. But good thing he can't see them. But they do. My feet don't look that beautiful today. But it's not about just a pastor. This is about, in reality, all those that Christ Jesus has called and sent into this world to exemplify him. He says, the feet of those that carry the gospel are beautiful. He says, but what good is it if people don't get to hear that message? We don't need to be staring at feet all day long. And lately, if you kind of walk around in our world right now, a lot of people are looking at their feet. We had a pastor's meeting here this week. I was moved by the Spirit, I believe. Either that or my own selfishness, because I felt alone. But I was moved by the Spirit to actually send out a message to all the local pastors that I knew. So if anyone was left off, it's just because I didn't know them. And I asked them if they'd come up here for a day of prayer, for afternoon of prayer. And we did actually have 10 pastors. And I was very thankful for that. And the interesting thing that I want you to understand and know, that every congregation that was represented here, not just our group, we're talking the churches around. Every congregation was doing well as far as meeting the needs that they have. Isn't that amazing? We're looking at kind of what's going on in the economic status of our world, and we start thinking, well, how can these churches survive? I mean, one church that was represented here had three pastors, and they were all here. And they're doing well. Because it's not about what we as humans can do. It's not about our performance. It's about God. And it's about understanding that we are in the presence and in the power of God through the power of Jesus Christ and his imputation of the Holy Spirit to each and every one of us. And the most interesting thing to hear was, how do we serve in these times? And every one of them came back to, we just go out and we preach the word. We preach the word. Because there's so much uncertainty in this world that it is a prime time to preach the word and allow people to know of a God who loves them, of who will take care of them, who is in control of everything. Jesus turns and he gives us this example. He calls to him the 12 disciples, and they're laid out for us. And I think this is extremely important. Why? Because they were average men. They weren't, you know, doctorates. They weren't some great theologians. They weren't scribes. They weren't Pharisees. These were fishermen, workers, tax collectors, someone that you would not even, an Israelite would have hardly anything to do with, a tax collector. Is this really how we picture our God coming and actually influencing this world? So we're given the 12 guys that he was speaking about. Now, we could turn around and we could say, well, now this only shows that there's only these 12. Well, different parts of the scripture show a lot different when he sends out the 72. And I love how he names them two by two. Because in reality, they would serve together and that they would go out into these places together. And so he gives a description of these individuals. So this means you and I. I'm not saying some of us aren't, you know, brilliant. I know there are a lot of brilliant people here. And I'm not trying to be self-deprecating. I'm just not one of the most brilliant. I'm a carpenter by trade. I don't know what else I could tell you. Oh, I made her through seminary. You betcha. Ask Jay Wagner if I can take Greek again. He'll say no. Stay home. His heart can't handle it. But it doesn't mean that God can't use me. And God will use you. See, when people are afraid, or people are unsure, and when people have been hurt, they don't need you to talk. They need you to listen. And they need you to be there for them. And then God himself says very plainly through his Spirit that when you need to speak, I will give you that wisdom. I will give you the words. Brothers and sisters in Christ, that's not just for 12. And it's not just for 72. It's for the body, because he is the head. The world needs ears to hear them. And they need godly wisdom to guide them and to direct them. He had the 12. And he turns around and he sends them out there. Isn't that kind of a scary thought? Seems like so many times in the church, we want to take and gather people together. We want to circle the wagons and protect ourselves and just wait and see if we can make it until Jesus comes again. Jesus sent them out. Have you ever stopped to think about what we call the priestly prayer in the Gospel of John? How Jesus actually prays in behalf of all of his apostles, all of his disciples, and then he even includes you and I. And he says very plainly in that prayer, he says, I pray not. I don't pray that you would take them out of the world. He says, I pray that you send them into the world. But he also prays a prayer of protection on them, he says, and that you would keep the evil one from them. See, he doesn't want us to hold up. That's what hasn't made sense to me over the last 10 months. We're holding up. What are we afraid of? Yes, there's safety measures. Yes, if we're compromised. We understand all of this stuff. But we don't need to be afraid. I pray not that you take them out of the world, but that you would send them into this world. Why? What is the purpose of sending them into the world?
to share the message. See, I would hope that at least you and I and all of us here in this room would have an understanding of what the gospel is. But if we're going to wait only for people to walk through these doors to be able to receive it, we might be sadly mistaken. We come here to worship. We come here to ascribe worth to a God. And yes, by that graciousness of God, we are encouraged, we are filled. Hopefully we learn something, no doubt about it. But for what purpose? To go frame some walls tomorrow and say we're done? To change a little bit of oil, or sell some furniture? Or is it also that we would be equipped to enter into this world to share a message with a world that so desperately needs to hear it? See, Jesus continually sends. He sent the 12. He sent the 72. He sends the church. He prays in their behalf, all of our behalves. Send them out. Now, he doesn't leave us out there willy-nilly. He doesn't leave us out there just to try to figure it out on our own. Paul is a great example of that. Many times when he would go different areas, he would say, I was led to go here. I was led to go there. And then he says, but the Spirit told me not to go here yet. God gives us the power of his Holy Spirit to encourage us and to teach us and to bring strength and clarity to a world that is so confused. We need to pray for our nation. We need to pray for our church. We need to pray for our children. That is always a continuous job. But how often do we pray for ourselves? Father, help me. Fill me with the presence of your Spirit. Give me the words that I need. Allow your word to speak to me as I read it, as I take it in, that I can actually enter out into this world and encourage people. Because he does desire for us to have an impact. We see that after now he sends the 12 out and he's instructing them. And yes, it's interesting because when we look at this text, he says, listen, you have a commission. You're going to the lost sheep of Israel right now. That's the commission. Well, that's not just the commission anymore. That was for them. And after the resurrection, it is open for all. And we know, which is really interesting, because Peter is sent, and it's even told in the scripture that he sent for the lost sheep of Israel. This was even prophesied back in Isaiah. But Paul, who was Saul, what is his commission? Here he is, a Pharisee of Pharisees. He was a Jew, very proud, eighth-day circumcised, had a lot of bragging rights, blameless in the law. I didn't say it. He did, under the inspiration of the Holy Spirit. So really what he's saying is, he's a big dog. He's top-notch. Later he'll tell us, and I count that all as garbage, compared to Jesus Christ. But his commission is to go to the Gentiles. So let's not get angry when we read this right now. This wasn't the time yet. Not everything was fulfilled yet. Not everything was in play yet. But right now he says, listen, you have a job to do. He says, you go, and you go to the lost sheep of Israel. He says, and I need you to make a proclamation. When you enter in, I want you to do it as I have done, as he opened his ministry. Behold, the kingdom of God is at hand. It is here. Do we live that way? Do we live that way in our lives now as we get, you know, out into that world and we become overwhelmed? Behold, the kingdom of God is at hand. It is here now. It is alive. It is effectual. It is moving. He says, you need to bring that first and foremost. And that's how Jesus opens his ministry. He says, repent, turn. He says, because the kingdom of God is at hand. He says, and I have a purpose for you. And he has a purpose for each and every one of us. I mean, it didn't, after his resurrection and after he meets with everybody after the resurrection, it didn't just like end.
Well, I'm glad that's done. Now we can just go and go to church for a half hour, 45 minutes, if that pastor's long-winded, right? Then we can go home and eat some lunch, and I'm not going to pick on football, but we do something else. Go snowshoeing. And then we'll even make that spiritual, right? And we'll say, oh, we get to see God out here. Well, God's everywhere. That's me. I'm going snowshoeing later. Got to work it off somehow. We have a purpose, and it did not end. He says, I want you to go out there, and I want you to bring recognition to the power of the kingdom of God is still in operation. And I'm telling you, brothers and sisters, it hasn't stopped. His kingdom is still here. His kingdom is still powerful. He says, and when you enter out there, he says, you heal the sick. You have a purpose. Go out there, and there are a lot of ill people. But boy, I'm glad that's done, hey? Still a lot of ill people. God's word heals. It brings restoration. It gives a hope where everything looks so dire. We only think of healing the sick as, well, maybe someone has a cold, or someone has COVID, or someone has cancer. Yes, very, very much that. What about my mind? What about when I'm sick with the thoughts of this world or the twistedness of this world? He says, heal the sick. He says, raise the dead. Pastor, you're not going to actually turn around and start telling me that now we're going to go out there and raise dead people. Hey, I am not going to limit God. He hasn't given me the physical ability yet to do any of that stuff. But I will say this. There are a lot of walking dead out there. There's a lot of people that don't know the truth of Jesus Christ. And they're putting their hope in what they see in this world, and it's bringing them to depression. We have the ability to give life. We give new life through Christ Jesus. It's not just pastors. It's all of us. He is equipping the saints, the sanctified, those that are set apart for a purpose. He says, raise the dead. What's your leprosy? Cleanse the lepers. What's your leprosy? What causes you to stay away from people? What causes you not to be involved? What causes you, in reality, to feel that you don't have any worthiness? Because see, in Christ's time, being a leper was such a detriment that they would actually have to live in leper colonies, and they would actually stay away from people. And if anyone came near them, their announcement was, unclean, unclean. That's what it was. So that people would know, don't go near them. What are we announcing? Pervert, alcoholic, drug addict. What are we proclaiming? He says, heal them. Don't make them live in this shame anymore. Give them the restoration. Give them the word. Encourage them. They are a child of God. How beautiful are the feet of those that carry this gospel. Because it brings them on a path of hope and righteousness, not of themselves, but of God. What is it? What is your leprosy? What is your friend's leprosy? Jesus went and touched him. He touched him. Unheard of in that day. Can we pray with a pervert? Can we pray with a liar, an alcoholic, an abuser? We need to. We need to. Cleanse the leprosy. He says, cast out demons, because there is a deception. We sit there and we think, well, this is only on, horror movies, or this is something that maybe the Roman Catholic only has the rights to do now through exorcists and things like that. We talk about leprosy. What is our demon? Is it greed? I've had the demon of greed many times. Is it lust? Is it jealousy?
Brothers and sisters in Christ, the church is still effectual. And we're so afraid sometimes to think, well, we can't get too spiritual. Next thing you know, we'll be charismatics. Well, if that's what it means, bring it on. Because I believe as fallen human beings, we have a lot of issues. But the answer is Christ Jesus and Him alone. And we have a message. We have this gospel to bring to them, to encourage them, to pray with them, to seek that they would turn their lives. How will they know if we don't share it? Oftentimes we preach these things as though they're ancient history books. We preach it like we have a historical Christ who once was and was a good story to tell. We preach and we worship a living Christ who is still standing as an advocate before God the Father on His throne to beseech in our behalf that we would be healed. Don't even think you don't have a job. It's not about board members. It's not about pastors. It's about the body of Christ entering into a world to bring hope. And if we ever needed it, it's today. He says, go out there and do it all for free. Doesn't mean they're not going to get what's needed. It's not what he's saying. He's saying, well, now forget everything else. He says, don't you worry about this. He says, in reality, the servant is worthy of their hire. He says, you just go do your job and stop thinking about that, and God will provide the rest. When I first got here, Mark, you remember this, he was the chairman that called me, and they offered me a salary, and I'll be very blunt, it was low. It was low. I knew it was low. Good. Good try. I liked it. They were starting from zero. They didn't know where to go. And I said, no. And Mark, he handled it like a trooper. I'm not even making fun. I'm serious. He was an excellent chairman. He says, well, do you need to pray about it? I said, nope. Don't even need to pray about it. It's too low. And I told Mark, if I feel called to take this job, I want my job to be on the ministry and the ministry alone. I don't want to start thinking about how I'm going to pay my bills or how I'm going to do other things. If God has called me to this, He will provide. He will provide. And if I was going to be called to a full-time ministry, that's what I was going to do. And the congregation came back like nothing was a better deal, and it was fine. And I'm not talking about salaries, but what I'm saying is I didn't want to have to think about it. Your Father is not poor. Your Father will give you exactly what you need, and you will be taken care of. What Jesus is saying, don't worry about that stuff. Just go do your job. Brothers and sisters in Christ, it is the same for all of us. God will take care of us all. Our help is not founded in a government. Our help is founded in Christ Jesus and Him alone. And what we have need of, God will do. Just as a side note, I've never asked for a single raise in this congregation. This congregation has been more than generous. More than generous. Just so you don't think I'm complaining. It was an example. Because I knew what I needed. And to do the task, that's what Jesus says, right? If you're going to build a tower, count the cost before you put your hand to it. Otherwise, you look like a fool. How silly would that be if I said, okay, yeah, just because I wanted the job. Then I come back 3 months later telling the board, I'm going to lose my house because I can't pay my bills. That's irresponsible. He says, don't worry about acquiring silver. Don't worry about the copper or the gold for your belt. He says, don't even take a bag because you're not supposed to be collecting. That's not what this is about. He says, and don't worry about two tunics. I get this. Don't worry about having extra clothes. You should see me on vacation. I am the biggest failure as a man in the flesh when I go on vacation. Holy buckets, I don't know why, but you know, you're driving a vehicle and you think you got to buy two brand new vehicles by the time you get back because you take credit cards and you hide them all over the place and you take money and you hide it everywhere because you're trying to prepare. Well, what if? Don't think that it hasn't spoken to me. God has spoken to me many times. Really? This is what you're going to do? You're going to leave town with $75,000 in credit cards just in case because somehow you got to buy a brand new pickup to get home? It's never happened. But we try to prepare. We try to hedge the odds. That is my weakness. And he says, don't do it. Don't do it. He says, just go do your job, and I will take care of it. He says, don't bring, extra sandals. Don't bring, anything else, because the laborer deserves his food. He will be taken care of. God will take care of you. He says, and whatever village you enter into, he says, find out who actually is open. Find out who will receive you. That's the worthiness. Not that, oh, they're good enough to have me. That will receive you. And then other parts of the scripture, he actually instructs them. He says, and stay there. If you find out that guy over there, you're at this house and all they're having is hamburger helper or something for dinner, but you find out the neighbor down the road, he's got prime rib and maybe I should go there. Don't do that. Stay where you are. Be content with what God has given, because they've opened their home to you. He says, and there'll be individuals that won't do this. He says, when you go in their house and greet it, he says, if the house is actually worthy of receiving, he says, your peace will be upon it. God will bless them for their gifts. And that's what I think is interesting. They're taking care of you, but what he's saying is God will take care of them. He'll take care of them. He says, and if they don't want you, he says, if they won't receive what you're offering, he says, leave. And really, he turns around and he says, leave. And I love how he talks about this. He says, take your sandals off and bust the dust off. And we take that often only as an insult. I think it is a testimony because Jesus even says that in another part of the gospel. But it's also that I wouldn't be overwhelmed. That I wouldn't be thinking about it all the time. Well, they never received me. And 2 days later, well, those people over there, they're really nuts. He's saying, let go of it. Let go of it. Because it's all about God. And Jesus says in other parts, if they don't receive you, they're not receiving me. But that's on them. Not on you. Do your job. We're going to go out in that world. We're going to see some, I really think we're going to see some chaotic times. Sorry if you don't like it. I think we are. But it doesn't determine who we are. We are the children of a gracious and a loving God who will oversee everything in our lives. And we trust in Him above the circumstances out there. But it does not diminish our call. As much chaos as we see, we are the answer through Christ Jesus to heal the sick, to raise the dead, to cleanse the lepers, to cast out demons. And we are to do this for His honor and glory, not man. He says, go, serve. Wherever they receive you, they will be blessed. Wherever they don't let it affect you. Let go of it. Keep loving, preaching, and teaching. He says, because God, and that's how he ends this thing, God is the judge. God will take care of it. And it's a very harsh way. He says, for those that reject all of this, it'll be more tolerable for Sodom and Gomorrah. And we know that one didn't end so well. Brothers and sisters in Christ, it is not our job for vengeance. I mean, I'm even hearing that in the political realm now. We want vengeance. That will not be answered. Because it is God's vengeance that'll be poured out. And in and through Jesus Christ, He abstains us from that vengeance. We are saved by grace through faith. Enter into this world and bring that hope. Every pastor in that room acknowledged that there is actually more of a desire now to hear that hope than we've seen in a long time. Yes, they may be difficult times, but they are precious times. For Jesus' name's sake, amen. Let's unite our hearts in a word of prayer. Gracious Heavenly Father, we praise and we thank you for the gift of life that is found solely in Jesus Christ. And Father, we know that we are commissioned to enter into this world, and we know there are so many that are sick. Father, we would even be fools to say that sickness doesn't touch us. But we ask for your help in those areas. We ask for that cleansing agent of the blood of Christ, the power of his Holy Spirit, to work in our lives, to be able to encourage others of this hope of the gospel. Father, we ask that you would continually reveal yourself in a world that so desperately needs to hear. Father, just this week, there was the discussion since Roe v. Wade, 62 million children have been aborted in this country. That is not something to be proud of. But Father, there is healing that needs to be heard. There's healing that needs to be heard on both sides. And Father, we pray that you would work in our lives to encourage, to strengthen, and offer forgiveness in a world that so desperately needs to hear it. Father, we ask that you would just continually hold us in the palm of your hand, that you would encourage us by your word. And Father, we ask as we leave here today that you would give us the opportunity for 5 minutes a day, just 5 minutes a day, to read your word. And we ask by the power of your Spirit that it would work effectually in us, that it would be open to us, and that we would see as your children, as your ambassadors, we have something that people need to hear so desperately. Sanctify us in the truth. Now the Lord bless us and keep us. The Lord make his face to shine upon us and be gracious unto us. The Lord lift his countenance upon us and give us everlasting peace. In the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen.